Mira la izquierda. Mira la derecha. ¿Qué ves? ¿Dónde estás? In a world that seems to change daily, what will you do next? Welcome to the Next Steps Show with Peter Vasquez, a starting point for discussion y un poco de dirección. Buenas tardes, good lunchtime, ladies and gentlemen. ¿Qué tal? No, you know, Bob, what's up? ¿Qué tal? No, I think what's up really needs to just stay in English.
What is this, the wacky morning circus, or what's...
it's noon, but no, check it out. Remember last time I said what's up, you said, hey, what is that in Spanish? And I said it's ¿qué tal? So I was trying it out, but...
It doesn't fit?
I don't know. It just doesn't seem... to fit. Ladies and gentlemen, what do you think?
Let's let them all weigh in on it. 346-3000. Yeah, give them the proposed intro. Tell them what it is.
The proposed intros is either, what's up? Like the commercial, yeah. Or in Spanish, ¿qué tal? I'm just not seeing it.
You like
it
English or Español?
Oh, en Español, pero por seguro, siempre todo en Español, like our rice and beans is always very... top notch. See, ladies and gentlemen, it is your Next Step Show, right? Con tu conservative New Yorican Peter Vasquez aquí on the WYSL stations. Because, hey, I love talking to you, but seriously, give us a call. So check it out, ladies and gentlemen. Today we're going to talk a little bit of politics, right? We're going to talk to a guy who decided that he's just, you know what, he's going to be part of the solution. So today, it's my pleasure to welcome a Navy veteran, a local entrepreneur, and a Rochester native striving for reform. Check it out. This guy rooted here in Monroe County, right, he champions bipartisan solutions and fiscal responsibility, tackling inflation, prioritizing vetting and immigration, and advocating for housing affordability. Now, our guest, we're going to be talking about this. Our guest does support woman's choice, but what does woman's choice really mean? We're going to find out. Opposes punitive measures and emphasizes comprehensive solutions. Hey, in foreign policy, he stresses, and we can't stress this enough, strength, alliances, and accountability. His vision includes term limits, transparency to restore faith in New York State's 25th congressional district. So, ladies and gentlemen, see, join me in welcoming el honorable el señor Greg Sedgwick. Señor, welcome to the Next Step Show, sir.
Thank you, Peter. It's great to be with you and to have some time with your listeners today. I appreciate that introduction.
Well deserved, sir. Well deserved. So, you know, I've seen what you've done. I've studied you, not just in preparation for this, but when you decided that you wanted to run. And I'm like, see, those are the kind of people that we need. People that understand not just, politics, people that don't just have experience in politics, but people that get the community. But more importantly, people that take the time to learn. You know, Greg, someone asked me recently, I was out on the west side, and you know how sometimes you go by some of the different churches or nonprofits, and, you know, it'll have a sign up front that says breakfast from whatever time. I like stopping in those when I'm out working just to talk to people. And someone said to me, oh, you politicians only come around when it's voting time. And that stuck with me because I was thinking, man, you know, I don't live in this neighborhood, but I'm about as community focused and community involved in the entire county as best as I can be. But then I started thinking, but wait a minute. If I wasn't running for office, would I have really not stopped, or would I have stopped there? And I probably wouldn't have. But I would have stopped at the veterans' place near my house or at the church that I, you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, Peter. And I've actually learned quite a bit in my 3 months of being, I'll call myself a politician, although I'm not really one. Because I've seen so many great things out there that I never knew existed. And it is unfortunate because we don't do that. And I'll use an example about Rotary. I'm a 20-year-plus Rotarian, and I've had the opportunity to go to other clubs over those 20 years, and I've never done that. And now that I'm running, I go to those other clubs, and I see, wow, there's amazing people in other towns doing amazing things, different things. And that's been the best part of this whole process for me, is seeing those things.
You know, and it's a nice little highlight outside of the many deaths that we keep seeing. What are we up to, 20 now? I saw on the news this morning they reported that like 6 happened in the last week or so alone.
21, I think it is.
Is it up to 21 now?
And you know, five were by gun and one was by knife. So let's take those knives away, too.
Well, if that's the case, they might as well take pencils away, anything that's a blunt object, machetes, vehicles, because even electric cars, you know, they can run somebody over.
Rocks. We need rock control.
Trees? Oh, my gosh. What about trees? Those branches can get, I mean, my grandson, I assume it's accidentally, not just kidding, my grandson accidentally hit me with a branch we were playing with, and that hurt. Anyways.
Well, we'll remember him on Christmas Day, won't we, Santa?
So, oh, absolutely. You know, a couple Christmases ago, we bought him a BMW to kind of match with ours. So I think he might need an upgrade now that he's older. It's Johnny, man. He's our little guy. So anyways, this is about Greg, not my Johnny. Although I could totally do a whole show on my grandson. That kid's personality is just phenomenal. So Greg, listen, I wanted to, first, I want to acknowledge that today is the first day of National Nurse Week, by the way. It is definitely a week that we should be embracing those people that make sure that we stay alive and comfortable in these hospitals. And really what the battleground has been in healthcare for the last decade and gotten worse since COVID, Greg, I mean, they deserve an applause, in my opinion.
They do. I was very fortunate to my first mother-in-law. She was actually a nurse. The top three women in my life, my mother, my grandmother, and my first mother-in-law. And she was a nurse for 30-plus years. And to this day, I respect and love her for what she did.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to the EMTs, because my son just became an EMT. So kudos to them. So, Greg, tell our listeners, right? You know, I like to start our show by introducing our guests, but not just with a bio that you have on a website. What I'd like for you to share with our listeners is really who was Greg Sedgwick before you became the Greg that you are today, right? Your next steps, your barriers that you took down. I mean, really, unless you were born with a golden spoon and everything was done for you, and it'd be a short story.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, the golden spoon. I didn't have a golden spoon, but I had a wooden paddle, a wooden spoon across my butt. Because I grew up in a family where we had to work hard. I'd started, I think, working when I was 12 years old, delivering papers and doing odd jobs. I used to have a program back in the 70s called Rent-A-Kid. Can you imagine that?
I remember
that. Can you imagine that program today? That would never happen. But yeah, our parents would rent us out and we'd earn some income. But when I was in college, I had three jobs. As you mentioned, I was a naval officer. So I've always been working all my life. So I understand what it's like to, I understand the value of what work does for people. You know, and I think in our society right now, we have sometimes disincentivized people to work. And I think we're losing an opportunity because work brings personal value to people's lives. In addition to all the other things that comes with it. But I've worked all my life, and I've been in private business since I got out of the Navy. Small business, the backbone of America. But I think that's what helps me. During my introduction, as you were reading it, I was thinking there are a lot of great things in there, but there are also a lot of things in there that, well, every politician says some of those things that you just said. And as you're reading that, I'm thinking, well, what's the difference between me and them? And the difference is I come from outside the farm system. I didn't have to do the things I did to get ahead in the political world. I got to where I was by working hard in the same world that everyone else in this that's out there listening to us works in. Private business, trying to do our best. And that's what makes me different. And that's what's going to make me successful when I get to Washington, is because I'm not from the farm system. I'm not compromised.
Tell us about your time in the military. You were in the Navy. First, thank you for your service, sir. I truly appreciate it. Were you an NCO, a commissioned officer, in battle? What was your experiences there?
I was I was at St. John Fisher College for my school. I went to NROTC at the U of R. Mm-hmm. So upon my graduation from college, I was commissioned a naval officer. I got to my ship. I was there for 3.5 years on my ship. We did two deployments. I was an engineering officer. So even though it was kind of interesting, the finance officer was an engineer by trade. Then I was the engineering officer, and I was a finance management degree officer. Mm-hmm. So the Navy puts you where they think you're going to do best. And I was responsible for the main engine and the boilers, and I had 70 engineers that worked for me. And it was incredible. We did some great things, but the pride. I was in a time that was just incredible. The wall had just come down. America was, I'll say, at its pinnacle of prestige around the world. And it was I love that. When people say thank you, you may actually blush because you shouldn't be thanking me. I should be thanking you for the opportunity to serve this country.
That's exactly how I felt and continue to feel. So were you a captain real quick? Jen, what was your rank?
I got out as a lieutenant.
Very nice. Very nice. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Next Step Show with the conservative Puerto Rican Peter Vasquez. Hoy tenemos al congressional candidate Greg Sedgwick for New York's 25th congressional district. Listen, 346-3000, put those fingers to work and ask those questions. We'll be right back right here on WYSL.
In the Rochester and Finger Lakes region, one name stands above all others for real estate appraisal and advice.
Ryan Murphy and Associates.
This full-service real estate appraisal company can appraise and advise on purchase and sales decisions, mortgage finance feasibility, estate, matrimonial, partnership buyouts, litigation, and more for any type of property, both residential and commercial. Ryan Murphy was founded almost 40 years ago. All of our highly trained staff members have at least 20 years of experience. All our appraisers are either New York State certified general or residential real estate appraisers.
Ryan Murphy and Associates.
Start here. RYNNEMurphy.com.
For the last couple of years, Joe Robach has been telling you about Flower City Collision in Henrietta, saying that it was started by a veteran along with his son Zach. Hi, my name is Greg Sedgwick, and I am that veteran. I want to thank the WYSL listeners for their support over the last couple of years. During those years, not only have I experienced the gratification of providing you the best repairs and customer service, it has also allowed me the opportunity to see my son develop as a young professional. So remember, Flower City Collision for your collision repair needs, and thank you for supporting our locally owned family business.
Youth for Christ Rochester is growing. With the help from the John R. Wegman Foundation, we're adding Saturday mornings back to basketball, while the Saunders Foundation brings back skills and drills for the spring and summer. Our middle school girls program will be starting in a second school this fall. Watch for a new name change for that program. But we need your help. Make a one-time gift of $300 or a monthly gift of $25 to sponsor a kid for a year. Go to yfcrochester.org/donate.
Now that the good weather's back, you'll want to make sure your vehicle is in tip-top shape, whether it's for the daily commute or that vacation you're planning. For quality, affordable vehicle service, rely on Rock Auto Service, 1132 Westridge Road. Rock Auto has what your car, truck, or SUV needs. Oil change, brake service, suspension, or front-end work, exhaust, air conditioning, and tires. Check their Google reviews as one of Rochester's best for customer satisfaction. Rock Auto Service, 1132 Westridge, just east of Mount Reed, 434-5010.
Peter Vasquez and Next Step Show on the WYSL stations.
And the Next Steps program with Peter Vasquez, proudly sponsored by Ryan Murphy and Associates, real estate appraisers, residential and commercial, wherever in the Finger Lakes, Rochester, Western New York. Also, Rock Auto Service, Westridge Road near Mount Reed, and SedgwickForCongress.com. Here's Peter.
Absolutely, señor. Gracias por todo lo que tú haces. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Monday, and it's a great start of the week. And you know what? It's always great to start the week by learning something.
I was going to say, if we start the weekend? Boy, I like your timetable. Yeah, I think you did.
I'm still on Friday, so. But when you're working full-time, right, doing something in housing, and you're running a radio show, and you've got kids, and what else do I do? Oh, I'm running for office.
Oh, yeah,
I guess all the days kind of run together. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is a great start to the week that hopefully will be the weekend here before we know it. Greg, you've got a phenomenal website, and that is SedgwickForCongress.com, right?
Correct. Four and, spelled out, F-O-R.
F-O-R. And how do you spell Sedgwick?
S-A-D-W-I-C-K.
That's Sed and Wick, ladies and gentlemen. So, Ander, you talk about the different things that you want to address, you know, your platform, I guess, and one of those are immigration. And you talk about a vetting process in that in immigration. I kind of like that. Can we go a little bit, you know, just a little bit about what that means? Can you expound on it to our listeners? How would that change? How is that different than
sure,
Joe?
Peter. Yeah, so, you know, it's not... Us Republicans get painted in a corner saying we're not for immigration, we're not for black and brown people. And that is such a lie. It's just a campaign slogan that the other side has picked up because we need immigrants. Our growth rate right now, our birth rate is 1.6. We need 2.1 births to grow this country. So we need immigrants. If it's not going to, if the population is not going to come from the birth rate, it's got to come from immigrants. So we need to have immigrants. We got to vet them. Okay, right now what's coming across the border is chaos, and it's both borders right now. It's northern and southern. But we look at the drugs that are coming across with over 100,000 fentanyl deaths a year. We look at the child trafficking coming across. We look at the crime coming across. There's just so much wrong with the southern border right now. And with vetting people, we get to decide who is going to contribute to our society. You know, I know a lot of times people are saying, well, there's economic people need economic relief, economic refugees. And so I was thinking about this. Anyone can claim that, Peter. Anyone that makes less, let's just pick a guy across the table from you. Anyone that makes less than you can claim they're at an economic disadvantage. And you can claim you're an economic disadvantage from the guy that makes more than you. We can all claim that. But there's, we need to make sure we're letting the people in that really need to come in here. The Haitians, what's going on there is tragic.
Absolutely.
Okay, it's tragic. So to me, there's reasons to let people in here for those type of humanitarian reasons. But we need to come through the front door.
Well, you know, I just wrote a blog on culture, and the thing is, in order for us to really move forward, we need to understand and embrace the cultures that we have. I mean, this is America, but I am curious on the immigration issue, though, Greg, if I can. And ladies and gentlemen, 346-3000. And ladies and gentlemen, no, none of these questions are pre-planned, right? So I may be putting you on the spot, and I apologize for that, Greg, if I do.
Do you apologize? Do you really?
Not really. I am a radio guy. If I didn't, I wouldn't be doing my job. But it sounds good, though. When I apologize, right? We can all be the politician. But I've heard other candidates or even people sitting in office. As a matter of fact, I think I even heard Obama say once that immigrants are great to come in this country. They increase our economy. They do all these great things. But the part that catches my attention was when they say that immigrants are here and are able to do jobs that Americans just don't want to do. For whatever those reasons are, and that's what makes them a good fit. Have you heard that?
I have. I frankly don't like that comment.
Good. Okay. Because it doesn't make sense to me.
To me, it sounds a little racist, to be honest with you. But
absolutely sounds a little racist. But more importantly, though, I mean, I think that talks a lot to the culture, though. If our number one reason to bring people in from another country is to pick up jobs that American families or Americans don't want to take, to me, that speaks to the cultural issue. We've talked offline about the cultural issue, right? I mean, as an employer, as somebody, and you hire or you employ, what, more than 100 people, I believe.
Correct.
And I employ not quite that many through the organization that I run, but hiring people's tough.
It's very tough. And it doesn't matter whether it's a highly skilled computer-type job or it's the jobs that you were referring to earlier. We need all people to help fill these roles.
Yeah, absolutely. Anywho, immigration, again, we can talk all day, but you have you also have something under that talks about affordability when it comes to housing. I believe your platform speaks specifically to increasing housing supplies, subsidies, and assistance. Now, I'll tell you, in New York State, I know that quite a bit of money has gone to housing. And again, I'm in the housing industry right now in affordable housing, and it just seems that the housing has been shifted more to the issue of immigration, people coming here, asylum seekers per se, even considerably more than the state set aside for veterans. But my question is, when it comes to housing and affordability, what can you do in Congress to make sure that states like New York State keeps the focus first on the people here that are New Yorkers and paying the taxes that need those?
So I tend to think the 30,000-foot level. Okay, so what helps with affordability is keeping more money in people's pockets. Okay, so right now we are just giving money away across the globe and to all these different programs with no accountability and with the American taxpayer not benefiting from that. Okay, so it's how do we fund the things we really need to be funding and not be funding the things that are just increasing our debt? So our national debt is over $30 trillion, right? And the service on that's half trillion dollars. What can be done with that money if we're just not going deeper and deeper in the debt? We print money, we print, and when we print money, mm-hmm. there's now more money in the system. So people have more money to buy stuff. So the demand goes up, but the supply doesn't move. So when demand goes up, supply doesn't move, the prices go up. I mean, this is all predictable what's going on. Absolutely. So it's starting at the top line to make sure we're running the economy properly.
Carmen, thank you for calling the Next Step Show.
Oh, yes. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question for the congressional candidate. Perfect segue, because you were just talking about accountability, but in a little bit different context. You know, as a taxpayer in Monroe County, Mr. Sadwick, I'd like to know why the current congressional holder, seat holder in our district, doesn't appear to be at all concerned about the mismanagement and misuse of federal dollars. And I'm talking about the ARPA funding, the whole debacle from the Bellow administration, which runs probably pretty deep into county government in all offices. Doesn't it seem a little odd that, you know, his office is not asking what happened to those federal dollars?
Yeah, Carmen, I would agree with you, and thanks for the call. But I think there's a reason for that. And again, we go back to my comment about the farm system. There's all those people that are mismanaging that money is all part of his farm system that he's created for the future. So it's kind of hard for him to hold them accountable. But it's not just at the county level. I mean, those funds across the federal level, I mean, everyone should be held accountable. I look at what all the money that was given out during the COVID process. You know, we're scrambling for workers. This was 2021, the beginning of that year. But yet the government's coming out with their second package to disincentivize people to go to work. And it was a challenge for businesses. But yeah, we flooded the market with money. There, to your point, there was no accountability for it. The ERC credit system, the government's put the hold on that because that became a business. That became an industry into itself because people in Washington were so quick to get the headlines and to get the votes that there was no accountability for those programs. So I agree with you, and that's a great question because there needs to be accountability for your money.
Yeah, Carmen hung up when you said thanks for the call. 346-3000, his line is still open, Peter.
Thank you very much. Carmen, I do appreciate your call. Thank you for responding. Hey, Greg, I want to, you know, there was a study that it was by the National Association of Home Buyers that says regulatory calls can account for up to 25% of the price of a new single-family home. And I know we keep talking about, you know, more money, more subsidies for first-time home buyers. But wouldn't it make sense to kind of hold off on more money or more subsidies or even more write-offs and kind of look at the regulatory component, I guess, and see where is it that we can reduce cost that way so it doesn't cost so much to build a house? I mean, New York State has one of the highest costs of doing business, cost of manufacturing. I mean, it's huge.
And I agree with you. The regulatory costs, and it doesn't matter what we're talking about, whether it's housing, whether it's pharmaceuticals, whatever it may be, we're constantly writing more regulations because we don't want to address the bigger issues. It's easy to have a lot of regulation that puts down business. It's easy to have these national holidays. It's easy to have these resolutions on the floor that mean nothing because Congress doesn't want to get to work and do the hard part. So, but to me, I think, Peter, the bigger issue, though, I think regulatory is part of it. But the bigger issue is I think a lot of our homeowners are being priced out because a lot of non-homeowners are buying property in our city and in our county. And it's those companies such as BlackRock that are coming into our towns and buying the property now with and then jacking up the price because now supply is going down and demand's going up. And it's pricing out those young kids coming out of school or college trying to buy that first home. So I think it's a much more complex problem than just the regulatory aspect. But it's definitely a problem for our next generation.
Absolutely. And, you know, this whole thing with immigration, I know I keep going back to it because I know New York, you know, we have a sanctuary state basically here. And when we look at housing inventories or the amount of housing available, affordable housing, and we look at the amount of asylum seekers, as they're calling them, or illegal immigrants coming to New York State, it just seems to me that housing crisis was never going to be resolved. I mean, how do you account for fixing a situation by continuously adding more, you know, more of the need to it?
Yeah, so going back to your point about the asylum seekers, it's my understanding that these companies that are putting up the asylum seekers are getting $3,500 per person per month. Okay, so if you have a house that takes four people, that's $15,000 that these companies are getting. So big business, it's attracting big business to exploit the government spending all this money on asylum seekers. And again, the residents pay the price.
That is 100%, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that is congressional candidate for the 25th District, Greg Sedgwick, 346-3000. Listen, put him on the hot seat. Don't make me the bad guy. Your conservative New Yorican, Peter Vasquez, will be right back right here on the WYSL stations, a donde está la voz de libertad.
He got me and set me free and brought me back to life. Blame it on the transformation. Change down to the core. This love is real and I can't sit still. If my name's not shame, no more, more, more. Great God Almighty, don't change this. Great God Almighty, don't change this. You gotta change, change.
Peter Vasquez and Next Step Show on the WYSL stations.
It's a damn shame what the world's gotten to for people like me, people like you. Wish I could just wake up and it not be true, but it is. Oh, it is. Living in the new world with a whole soul. The rich men north, the rich men, Lord knows it all. Just wanna have total control.
This world has changed and I had to accept it. They ask my political views while I search for their hidden agendas. I don't got an answer, I try to remember the devil divides. Pressure appears from our peers. Those arguments waste our time while helping to push their lies. So f*** political views. I got common sense. I know God made man. And the sun sets on a life where we focus on things that we cannot control and accumulate so much regret. By the time we decide to live, we're practically already dead. So I go to sleep with the thoughts of 45 years living in debt, 45 years can't pay rent, 45 years just for a pension I'm too old to enjoy and go spend, 45 years working and slaving for rich men with no time for my family and friends. Then I wake up and pray that it ends.
Hey, did you know that the Tax Policy Center has suggested that just a 1% reduction in income taxes could potentially lead to a 0.5% increase in GDP over the long term? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Next Step Show. Aquí tenemos al señor Honorable Greg Sedgwick, candidato for the 25th Congressional District, if I can get that out.
Easy for you to say.
New York State. Apparently not. I was stumbling on my words. It's like, geez, get out. You can. You can do it. Anyways, you have a, on your platform, you talk about combating inflation, Greg, and I think this is important. I asked Bob if he can play that song. It's the a Dax version that he did along with, or with the permission of Oliver North.
But Oliver Anthony.
Oliver Anthony, yeah, not Oliver North. I did.
I'd like to hear Oliver North do a little rap. That would be interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, wasn't he in prison? Didn't he go to jail, Oliver North?
Did he, Greg?
I don't think he did.
I don't think
he never got charged or anything. No, I don't know. I figured politician.
Anyways, they went. The swamp went after him.
But that particular remix truly shows the impact of policies that are in place by this progressive left that's just stifling Americans. And they keep saying how great it is. So tell us what you're going to do to help us fix that.
Yeah, so you say they're telling us it's great, and that's an interesting point. We hear Bidenomics is working. We just don't know it's working for us. But it's not. It obviously isn't. We go to the grocery stores, and we see what the prices are. So we know it's not. We also know that there's things that are happening that are coming up. The Trump tax cuts are going to expire in the next year here. That, for a family making $100,000, is equivalent to a tax increase, although President Biden said he was not going to increase taxes on anyone under $400,000. But when those tax cuts expire, that's going to impact the average family by $1,700. So they keep saying that they're not raising taxes, but that's going to happen. Inflation is a tax. It's a tax imposed upon the mismanagement of the economy. So it goes back to managing the economy properly. And it goes back to putting things in place that are going to help communities grow. Okay, so it's not very often I agree with Andrew Cuomo. Okay, Andrew Cuomo, though, said that we probably
bold words.
I know, but he said this, not me, that we probably raise taxes as much as we can. So I know on the left they say we got to raise more taxes, but that's just rhetoric to energize voters. What Cuomo said was that we probably raise them as much as we can because the wealthiest people who pay the most tax have the ability to leave the state. Okay, and we've seen that. Tom Golisano is the greatest example. You know, he's paying $13,000 a day, and he's left the state.
Interesting. We got a caller.
Okay,
Keith, you're on the lines, Papa. How you doing?
Well, even with YSL's increased broadcasting coverage, Mr. Sadwick is a regular listener. They still keep getting us old same callers. Maybe your guests in the same way that he has to get new customers. In his case, for his collision business, maybe he could tell you how to get new callers in. I would say, in defense of the audience, it gets kind of touchy and cautionary of calling in on these type of interviews and really putting the guest on the spot. But as I listened the last half hour, Mr. Sadwick, you seem to be a very even-paced guy. Maybe factoring in your military background, you are groomed to be that way insofar as not to be emotional. But for some of us who really see a darkening of our country, if all of us are to really get animated and really come out of ourselves, what, pray tell, do you really think, without becoming maybe a true outlier, someone like me and others, you go into the station, I don't, that kind of thing, right into the studio, just to animate you a bit, because you do come across very mannered and paced, but even factoring in your military background, but to shake everyone up, we're in a dire crisis here in our country, no BSing around, and I have to say evenly, I'll try to be polite, all of the candidates come in, and they seem to say it sane, but we're living in insane times, and I guess to bring this full circle, what, without us going really insane, if we're going to approach someday a civil war because things are going that bad in the country, what are you really going to do that's going to really change things around? The left is not going to be moved from their present positions. They are, today are Marxist, socialist. They don't care. And for me to phrase it, short of a shooting civil war, what are we really going to do about these bums who are not patriotic Americans, as you, sir, have shown yourself to be? And when you go up against them, if you should get elected, etc., what's a guy like you going to do? You're kind of going to be lost in the shuffle. And I really mean, in closing, what are you going to do in an animated way to maybe come out of yourself, kick some butt, and in a military disciplined way bring this country back? Because we need a lot of rebuilding, and it's going to take more than Trump if he hopefully gets in there, but it's going to take years and years beyond his 4 years. Just without me rambling on here, what are you, Mr. Sadwick, really going to do to take that proverbial bull by the horns and your little bit, just like when they said in World War II, I, a soldier, I'm going in to do my bit. What is Greg Sadwick going to really, really do to shake things up and bring back America to its traditional self? I'll listen off air.
Hey,
thank
Keith,
you, bye.
Before you hang up, did we lose him?
Yeah, he hung up.
I had a question for you. Anyways, Greg.
Keith, thanks for the question, because I agree with most of your comments, although I do not condone a civil war, that I'll be frank with. But things have to change. We always hear that this is the most important election ever. And every election, that's a true statement. But I think what's true in this election is that we're on the precipice of change in this country from being what it once was, and why immigrants flocked to America, and why this was the promised land. So what am I going to do? You know, I would represent 750,000 people. Okay. Those are the people that are sending me to Washington. I'm one vote within 435. So it's not just what I'm going to do. What can we do as a district? And all we can do is control our one vote, okay, or our one representative. So I intend to represent the people in what we want to do. But I also, to kind of add to your get to the heart of your question, I'm not owned by any party. I've come up from outside the system. Okay, so I can be that maverick, a civil maverick. I understand your comments about my tone, that I'm pretty even-keeled, but I can be that civil maverick that doesn't have to fall in line with my party. Now, you know what my values are. My values are on the side of the party, But if there's legislation that, you know, you look at how a lot of stuff gets through. It's true because there's something important. They tack on 10 other addendums to it. And that's what screws up our system. So that's one of the things I'd be fighting for is how do we just get down to voting on the legislation that's put before us and not tacking on all the pork to it as well. Term limits is one that I think is an important fight because time and money has corrupted our system. Money with PAC money coming in from outside the district that dilutes the votes of the 700, the money of the 750,000 voters in this district, and time. You know, once the hooks are into these career politicians, they're beholden to these outside interests. So those are a couple of things that I'd be passionately fighting for.
Absolutely. So before we go, you know, we were talking inflation, but I want to shift a little bit to a social issue that does kind of put you outside of the traditional mold of your typical Republican conservative guy, and that's the women's issue. Your website says you're pro-woman's rights. If I'm going to read it right off your website, it says Greg opposes legislation that restricts women's reproductive rights and advocates equal rights, empowerment, and access to health care and reproductive services. Pro-choice. Explain that.
I think too often we get put in boxes. I think that's one of the problems with our entire system. We're either this or that, blue or red. And I don't think most of us are. I think most of us are, we have a lot of different interests and a lot of different experiences. So when it comes to women's reproductive rights, I personally am pro-life. I grew up in a Catholic household. That's what I've learned all my life, and that's what I am. Okay, but I think we got to separate politics from, say, religion. As a legislator, I don't feel it's my position to get between a woman and her right to choose. I've been doing a lot of discussion about this in the last couple of months. You know, I met with a woman while passing petitions. You know, she was 40 years old and she had an abortion 20 years earlier. And she said to this day, she still lives with the regret of that. Okay. And she had said that if she had known there were other options out there, she would have pursued those other options. But 20 years ago, there weren't those options. So she did what she did. We need to make sure women have access to all the options. If we're going to fund what I say, one side of the equation with Planned Parenthood, we need to fund the other side with organizations, great organizations like Compass Care. We need to make sure that adoption costs come down. We need to help women that maybe are in a single-parent household and want to keep the child be able to pay for health daycare. We need to go after dads who maybe not be paying their fair share. But we need to give women a bunch of choices on what they should be doing. I saw one survey that said that 60% of women that had an abortion felt that if they had other options, they would have pursued the other options. We need to make sure that we're making those options available. And again, if we're going to fund one side of the equation, Planned Parenthood, we should fund the other side. We'll say Compass Care. If we're not going to fund Compass Care, then conversely, we should not be funding Planned Parenthood.
Now, right now, Planned Parenthood doesn't really do a lot of planned parenting, right? So I'd love to see, you know, some action on that. And I know a lot of people would like to see a lot of action on that. If you're going to be a birthing, you know, place for women, give the full story, which they don't do currently. Ladies and gentlemen, 346-3000. We got just a little bit of time left here. Tenemos al congressional candidate Greg Sedgwick. No te vayas, porque soy yo, your conservative New York, and we'll be right back.
Yeah, make Keith happy. Call us, 346-3000.
In the Rochester and Finger Lakes region, one name stands above all others for real estate appraisal and advice.
Ryan Murphy and Associates.
This full-service real estate appraisal company can appraise and advise on purchase and sales decisions, mortgage finance feasibility, estate, matrimonial, partnership buyouts, litigation, and more for any type of property, both residential and commercial. Ryan Murphy was founded almost 40 years ago. All of our highly trained staff members have at least 20 years of experience. All our appraisers are either New York State certified, general, or residential real estate appraisers.
Ryan Murphy and Associates.
Start here. RYNNEMurphy.com.
Hi, my name is Greg Sedgwick, and along with my son Zach, we are the owners of Flower City Collision. We've been advertisers on WISL, the voice of liberty, for the last couple of years. So I want to thank the listeners of WISL for their patronage, which has allowed us to grow and reinvest in the latest technologies to ensure that your vehicles are repaired to the most current standards. whether conventional or EV. If you're in a collision, reach out to Zach at Flower City Collision in Henrietta, and he'll work with your national insurance company on your local behalf to ensure that your repair gets done right.
Baseball, hot dogs, and the American flag. They're all part of the rich fabric that makes our country great. Show your American spirit by purchasing your flag from the Stars and Stripes Flag Store today. When you do, you are supporting critically needed services for local veterans at the Veterans Outreach Center. Let's show our veterans that we care by placing our nation's symbol on the porch of every house in our community. The Stars and Stripes Flag Store, 783 South Avenue.
Livingston County Pizza Company and Gluten-Free Bakery has a great deal on Tuesdays. A large four-topping pizza for $18, regular or gluten-free. Call 226-9575. Open Tuesday through Sunday. Livingston County Pizza Company and Gluten-Free Bakery in Avon.
Now that the good weather's back, you'll want to make sure your vehicle is in tip-top shape. Whether it's for the daily commute or that vacation you're planning. For quality, affordable vehicle service, rely on Rock Auto Service, 1132 Westridge Road. Rock Auto has what your car, truck, or SUV needs. Oil change, brake service, suspension, or front-end work. Exhaust, air conditioning, and tires. Check their Google reviews as one of Rochester's best for customer satisfaction. Rock Auto Service, 1132 Westridge, just east of Mount Reed, 434-5010.
Next Steps with Peter Vasquez on the WYSL stations.
Ooh, baby, I love your way every day.
Yes, and we want to thank Rock Auto Service for coming on board as our latest sponsor for the Peter Vasquez Next Step Show on the WYSL stations. Also brought to you by SadwickForCongress.com and Ryan Murphy and Associates. And here's Peter.
And ladies and gentlemen, check it out. If you haven't made that conscious decision to call 346-3000 and say, hey, I'm gonna sponsor that wackadoodle coming on at noon, Senor Peter Vasquez, the conservative New Yorker, what you waiting for? Dan, thank you for calling the Next Step Show.
How you doing, Sauce? Yes, sir. Glad to see a Navy veteran getting involved at the federal politics. Seems like we've got plenty of military, not enough Navy men. My family's got deep history with the Navy. My grandfather joined the Navy in 1914, mustered out after World War II as a rear admiral or a commodore. My dad spent all the war, 42 to 46, escorting the Liberty ships overseas, had two ships shot out from under him, and then on D-Day made multiple landings on an LST. My brother was a Navy corpsman. My other brother was a Marine. I'm interested in what you think about the attempted sinking and false flag of the USS Liberty, and the survivors of the Liberty have been calling for an investigation of that for like what 60 years now, and have gotten nowhere. And the timely tie-in with that is our Congress just made it illegal for you to express anti-Zionist thought. The thought police are involved, and you'd be in a very staunch position to help change that insane anti-American kind of law. Also, my mother was an obstetric nurse for nearly 30 years, and she was a staunch right-to-lifer. And there were plenty of options back then. This was back, she mustered out of nursing in 84, I think. So there were plenty of options back then.
Dan, we appreciate the call. Let's give Greg time to answer here, senor.
Yes, thanks, Dan, for the call. And there's a lot to unpack there. But it's great hearing your family's history. And even that Marine... The Marines are part of the Navy, so he's a Navy guy, too. I consider him one. but if I can focus on one thing you said, because I know we're running out of time, but you talked about the anti-Zionist resolutions that are going on. You know, too often we put emotions ahead of the First Amendment. And to me, the First Amendment is so critical, and we've got to make sure that we preserve the First Amendment. And I know it's very easy to say we need to shut down social media, we need to shut down hate speech, we need to shut down anything. But to come back to that question, who's to decide what hate speech is? Who's to decide what's going on social media? So the First Amendment to me is first for a reason. And we got to make sure we're doing everything we can to to protect that. And too often we disguise things into – we package it so that it's that sounds good, but is it really? And I'll use Planned Parenthood. I mean, Planned Parenthood. Who would be against Planned Parenthood? Well, yeah, but you peel back the onion, it's horrible. The Equal Rights Amendment. I mean, that just sounds so great. But when you peel that back, that's there's a lot of hidden pitfalls there as well. So we need to preserve our First Amendment.
We absolutely do. And it's being eroded more and more and more. And it's crazy how they classify almost everything as hate speech these days. Real quick, foreign policy. Where do you stand on that? You got something quicker or is that a longer conversation?
Three words for you. Strength through peace.
Strength through peace it is. I want to shift to accountability because I think this is one of the most important issues, I think, for voters these days. I'll give you an example. Not only like our caller earlier in the show, Carmen, had mentioned about the ARPA funds, even in the county clerks. I mean, not that just a few months ago, there was a report of almost $32,000 worth of checks that was reported stolen, right? And that was it. There was this press conference. Poof, it was gone, amongst many other things. So when it comes to accountability, where do you stand on that? What is transparency?
Well, if I can take this a different angle, to me, accountability and consistency go hand in hand. And right now, I don't feel we have consistency in our justice system. You look at what, you know, whether you like Donald Trump or not, shouldn't be the issue. It's what's going on with him in the justice system. When you have a president who had the right to take secret documents, whether he did it right or not, that's questionable. But he had the right to take those and declassify them, whereas Joe Biden took them as a senator who had 000 right to take them. But we're going to let Joe Biden off the hook because he's a feeble old man, and we're going to let Trump sit in court and take away from his ability to campaign. So to me, it's not just transparency, it's consistency.
Interesting. So, hey, Next Steps Advice, your team, I mean, what, you want to give a shout-out to anybody? We've got about 3 minutes left, so this is all you.
Yeah, so just one thing – thank you. So one thing I've tried to do with my team, I really do believe – and this isn't just political talk. I really do believe we have more in common with our neighbors who happen to be Democrats than we do with others in our party.
I agree.
And I think that we don't take advantage of that. And – for instance, my campaign manager is a Democrat, and I think he might be on the air here in the next 5 minutes. But to me, it's important. I want to walk the way I'm talking. So Jose Pio is my campaign manager because I want to demonstrate that we all got to work together because it's diverse thoughts. And that's one thing that the Democrats talk about. I shouldn't say the Democrats because the Democrats are great people. Okay, it's the people in the leadership that maybe are not. But our Democrat neighbors are wonderful people. But their leaders talk about diversity until it comes to diversity of thoughts. And then they shut down diversity. If we're going back to my consistency, we got to be consistent with diversity of skin color, diversity of thoughts, diversity of whatever it may be. That's critical. And that's why my campaign team is made up of both Republicans and Democrats.
You're pro-Second Amendment, right?
I'm pro-Second Amendment, yes.
Absolutely, Jose Pio. I'll tell you what, that definitely shows you're a man that has a lot of patience.
Oh, putting up with him? You ain't kidding. Oh, my goodness.
I'm kidding. Give your website one more time, sir, and then I want to ask you for Next Steps advice that you can condense into about 15 seconds.
All right, so we're at sadwickforcongress.com, S-A-D-W-I-C-K, four spelled out, F-O-R. What my advice would be to make sure your friends and family know that the Republicans need to get out and share the gospel, so to speak. There are a lot of hidden Republicans out there that feel oppressed. They're gonna come out if you help them come out. Share your views.
You heard it here, ladies and gentlemen, in the Next Step Show, right? Your congressional candidate for New York State's 25th Congressional District. Thank you, senor. Until the next time you come on the show, good luck out there. Ladies and gentlemen, say it with me. Leadership is the beacon that guides me, for it's through selfless service that I illuminate the way for others to find their own greatness. Mira, be a leader, share with us, advertise with us. Que tengan una semana bendecida y nunca te olvide que aquí en the WISL Studios, La Voz de Libertad, the Next Step Show, the conservative New Yorker, y sí, por seguro, el señor Greg Sedgwick, te amamos. Con alma de hoy.